Ready.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Okay, good. Good mom. Let's go to the bathroom.
I'm ready. I just got to do my hair, put my clothes on, go to the bathroom. And shower.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Anthony, the backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
Doing fantastic, buddy. Glad to talk some hockey with you here. We got a lot to cover today. Little news and notes section later. We have just a lot to talk about. The league is in full swing now that we're in November. We're starting to see more and more trends happening. I'm very, very pumped to get into all of it.
As am I. It's a beautiful Sunday morning here. We're getting ready for football for our standpoint. We've got a great show, though, for the listeners here. We've got Pims of the Week. Like you said, we have a news and notes segment. We have our start, sits, call-ups, Anthony's setup of the week. It's going to be a great show. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, though, at the Power Play Podcast. That's where you can support the boys. Tell us what you think of the show. Write a review on Apple Podcasts or all podcasting platforms. What are you laughing at?
Your pants.
Oh, dude, they're so comfortable.
You got the Bauer sweats here.
They're like Bauer sweats.
Bauer athlete over here.
That's what I am. Sponsored, not a big deal.
Not a sponsor.
Kind of a big deal. I shouldn't say not a big deal. Okay, either way.
We're going to get sued.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. We're all over the podcast world at the Power Play Podcast. Like, subscribe, leave us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. Anthony, are you ready to get this show here on the road?
I've been waiting for you to wrap that intro for about 10 minutes, buddy. Yeah, let's go.
So we're getting right down to it, though. We got a quick question of the day here. The Winter Classic sweaters were released last week, and was it last week? It might have been the week before. It might be a little bit.
It was a couple weeks ago.
But we have yet to discuss it. The Winter Classic sweaters, though, were released for the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. We have a good glimpse of them. Anthony, what are your thoughts on those sweaters? Who won the Winter Classic sweater war?
I think everybody wins with these jerseys. I really like Dallas's jerseys. They were unique. They weren't exactly a throwback to their North Star jerseys, which I think I may preferred, but they still did a great job. I love the tan gloves, old school looking gloves.
Oh, those are sick.
Nashville's jerseys were the horizontal stripes with the Nashville in the middle, the words in the middle.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just a great classic look. They both look great on the guys. It's gonna be good.
So if I had to pick a winner and a loser though, I would say the loser would be the Dallas Stars because they had that letdown of the fact that they're not North Star sweaters.
I think they did miss an opportunity to do that, but I do like the other ones.
And then with the Nashville Predators, on the other hand, it's the sweaters that the Predators have now are kind of like meh. So you see these Predators sweaters and you're like, oh shit, these are really cool sweaters.
I'd like to see them in those jerseys every night.
Yeah,
they're so awesome.
So I think that's where Nashville gets the dub here, but Dallas does come really close because they use Man Rocket Tyler Seguin to model the jerseys and all the pictures. So that's just unfair.
Well, you see half the jersey, half his six pack. So it's really like, what are you really looking at here?
What are you really paying attention to here? So I do pick the Nashville Predators in the Winter Classic jersey war. That game will be played on New Year's Day. We're very excited for that. It's going to be an interesting game in the South. In Dallas, at the Cotton Bowl Stadium, right where the Sooners play the Longhorns.
Yeah, the old Cotton Bowl.
The old Cotton Bowl. So that's our quick question of the day. Let's keep it rolling here, buddy. We're going right into
Pims of the Week.
Yeah, we're already on the same page.
Pims of the Week. Oh, this is perfect.
Pims of the Week.
It is now time for Pims of the Week, and we kick it off with the 2 minutes that probably the whole entire world wants us to talk about, and it's the Don Cherry thing. It's the Don Cherry talk. Now, we're not necessarily giving 2 minutes to Don Cherry himself. We're giving 2 minutes to the situation, okay? We're giving 2 minutes to the entire situation that is sweeping the nation right now along the hockey world, and even in all of the sports world, it's really talked about Don Cherry's comments regarding the poppy and how everyone should be wearing it, and he said, "you people," which is...
Really poor choice of words.
Poor choice of words on his part, but...
Yep. Sure
was. The 2 minutes here is not for that specifically. It's for the fact that this conversation is taking over the hockey world and it's taking away from the great game of hockey.
Yes, exactly. It's been talked about way too much since it happened. I think they did the right thing to fire him. I think that's fine. Coach's Corner's done. Fine. But now it's become this thing where both sides of both political parties are now using it for their agendas. And I think it's really annoying. It's like, keep that out of our game, please. Let's talk about hockey. He got fired. Fine. He shouldn't have phrased it the way he phrased it. I personally think, I mean, I'm fine with him getting fired. On the other hand, I still love Don Cherry.
Yeah.
He's a great hockey personality, an absolute hockey legend. And I just think we're done with it. Over. We're done.
And I think that the biggest thing is whether you are for it or against the firing. It's what you said with the fact that it's don't be bringing in your political agendas.
Yes, let's keep hockey.
Let's keep hockey. We see it in the NFL with the Colin Kaepernick stuff and all this other stuff.
Yikes.
It's taking away from the game, and we do not want to see that in the hockey world. We saw the lady from the Social. It's a Canadian show.
I guess.
Jessica Allen came out and said that. All of it. Keep it out. If you don't like hockey players, if you're saying the majority of it is white bullies and privileged white boys, is what she said.
It's very stupid. It's ignorant, and there's really no basis for it.
Exactly, and it's taking away from the game, and it shouldn't. Let's get back to hockey.
Especially with so many great things happening right now in the game.
Exactly.
There's been so many amazing highlight reel plays in the past few months. There's been so much going on. Unexpected teams doing great. Some teams bombing. It's like there's so much excitement around the league right now. We've got the Winter Classic coming up. Why is that taking up any time?
Exactly. So two minutes going to that for not the comments itself, but it taking away from the game itself. Moving on to our 4 minutes here. Our 4 minutes, I personally came up with this. I don't think I've talked to you about this in our pre-show meeting, but...
No, I'm aware of the play, but go ahead.
The 4 minutes is going to the officials on the ice for the Colorado Avalanche Vancouver Canucks game the other night, where Matt Calvert took a snapshot from Elias Pettersson right to the back of the noggin, and he was down and out. And the play continued, and Vancouver would score, and then later on in the game, about a minute later, they would tie the game up. And I personally, I'm giving the 4 minutes here to the officials on that ice for not blowing the play dead. Make sure your thing's on mute. Okay.
It is.
Anthony's in the studio here about to watch the block shot from Matt Calvert, and I had to make sure he was on mute, though. But my biggest thing, the 4 minutes really, is going to the officials. So I feel like that play should be blown dead. That is a player who is just... There's certain with officiating, a lot of it is to their own discretion.
Judgment calls.
And this has to be the judgment call of stopping the play right there, because this guy just took even Elias Pettersson in the game was like, whoa, this is not okay. Like, this is not okay. And we saw Nathan MacKinnon after the goal. He just basically charges at the ref, yelling at him. The entire Avs lineup on the ice is just furious with the officials. And I mean, I'm just not a fan of this. This has to be blown dead. 4 minutes going to the official on that. What do you think, Anthony?
I agree 100%. I know the play was in their zone, but even Pettersson stops and's like, hey, whoa, this is, some things are bigger than the game. He was able to skate off on his own power, which is nice to hear, but you don't know exactly what's going to happen. A quick whistle there, regardless of the situation, ensures the safety of the player. And I think that has to be number one in a scary situation like that. When even the opposing team is like, whoa.
Exactly.
And like everything kind of stops for a second. I will say the Avalanche were able to come back and win that game.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon with the OT winner.
Things like that, you rally around situations like that sometimes. So it worked out in their favor, but still definitely a well-earned PIM going to the ref.
4 minutes going to the officials, and we talk about Nathan MacKinnon getting the overtime winner. I have a little bit of I'm going to tease my start call up a little bit later. I have Nathan MacKinnon featured in that one, so stick around for that one. So 4 minutes going to the officials for not blowing the play dead, and the 5 minutes here. Here we go. Wait, what are you laughing? Are you laughing at the 5 minute?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I agree with it for one. I just think it's almost comical.
It is.
It's funny.
And it's repetitive. This seems to be like a repetitive topic with our show.
Sure.
So 5 minutes is going to Emerson Clark on Kids Day, nonetheless. On the student day on Thursday morning, he got into a scrap with someone from the Atlanta Gladiators, and Clark is literally just wailing on this guy while he's on the ice with his gloves on, and then after that proceeded to pull away and target another Atlanta Gladiators player who did not want to fight, and he started wailing on him as well. And this is just uncalled for type of hockey. This is not what's needed in the sport. This is not, it's not okay. Everyone talks to me about like how fighting is in the game. Like that's what fighting is. And it's hockey. No, it's not. It's not hockey. That right there is not hockey. It's just,
It was Emerson. He was suspended for 5 games and fined an undisclosed amount.
Okay, so Emerson Clark was the guy who was wailing on the player.
Yeah, I saw the video of it. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no need for that in the game. And I mean, we have all the Iceman truthers and the guys who live and die by the Clark boys. I mean, they're great players. They're great guys. This is not anything, any type of shots at them. It's just there's no room in the game for this.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Emerson's actually one of the more skilled guys on the team.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was Everett.
Yeah, he has real nice hands, actually, so it's definitely not a shot against his game. But this is the kind of stuff that the ECHL is trying to get rid of with the 10-fight rule, trying to deter guys from taking senseless fighting majors like this.
Yes.
5-game suspension, well-deserved. I'm sure he'll come back with a little more presence of mind in those situations. So I think it's a fair suspension, and I think it'll be fine, but definitely worth the 5 minutes from us and definitely worth the 5 games from the league.
Definitely. And we got some, I saw some people saying that like he shouldn't have gotten 5 games. He said people were saying that he should have gotten maybe 1 or 2 games because he hasn't been suspended this year. And I'm like, he has prior history, though, of being suspended.
Yes,
so that's where it comes into play.
Yes, just because Tom Wilson hasn't been suspended this year, don't think that if he was going to get suspended this year, they'd give him 1 or 2 games for whatever he did.
It doesn't reset after every year. Like, the history does not reset. That would be a terrible thing to do. So,
absolutely.
5 minutes going to Emerson Clark for just an absolute mess of a fight on Kids' Day.
Oh yeah, that's
on Kids Day.
That's the main thing.
It was on Kids Day. It was like
I didn't get the opportunity to go this year, but I know people who I work in the school system, so I know people who did, and they were texting me. They're like, "There's been like 100 fights, and it's the first period." And I'm like, "I'm pretty sure they tell them not to fight in the during Kids Day."
Yeah.
So I found it pretty hilarious that it's like fight night during Kids Day.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny, but also adds to being worthy of a PIM.
Yeah, definitely. So 5 minutes going to Emerson Clark for the fight on Kids Day. 4 minutes going to the no whistle play on the Matt Calvert blocked shot, and 2 minutes going to the Don Cherry situation. Boom. PIMs of the week. That PIMs of the week is brought to you by absolutely nothing. I'm sorry. I just had the urge to say that PIMs of the week is brought to you by something. I don't know why.
It's brought to you by your Bauer Sweats.
Oh, brought to you by the Bauer Sweats. Moving on here, Anthony, it is time for a little bit of news and notes from around the league here, buddy. What do we got going on?
I'd like to start with some milestones. Corey Perry played in his 1,000th game in the NHL the other night with the Ducks. He played with the Ducks for the majority of that. He is now with the Dallas Stars. Also, Coach Quenneville, famous for his cups in Chicago, now in Florida, is in elite company. 900 NHL wins. The only other coach to do that is Scotty Bowman.
Big Scotty Bowman.
And one more. Steven Stamkos, Stammer, gets his 400th career tuck the other night against Winnipeg. So congratulations to all of them. That's more of the milestones. What else you got for us in the news and notes, buddy?
So in the news and notes section here, buddy, we've got... Oh, man. The Leafs are a team that are really struggling right now. They have now lost 5 straight games. On the opposite end of that spectrum, the Arizona Coyotes is what's rolling right now. The Arizona Coyotes are playing great hockey.
They're second in their division.
Second in the division. They are playing some stellar hockey out in the desert. And then we have the New York Islanders are another team who have been very well. I believe I saw a stat there, 9-0-1 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, they've been great. Last night, they go down 3-0 to the Flyers. Going into the third, they're down 3-0. You think the game's over. People are turning off the TV. And then all of a sudden, they win the shootout. Unbelievable.
Unreal.
Those are the types of wins that stick with the team and help bring them even closer together. Those are so huge for a team.
And it goes back to coaching, too. When you're down that much, we see teams just give up. Like our New York Rangers, we're going to talk about them in a little bit. But Barry Trotz, though, keeps the Islanders rolling. They keep them focused. And boom, there you go. Comeback victory for the Islanders. They keep rolling.
It's definitely nice to have a guy like Trotz back there.
It is definitely nice. So that does it, though, for the news and notes from around the league. Anthony, now it is your time to shine, buddy. Before we get into the start, sits, call-ups, it is now your time to shine. Do you have a setup of the week here, buddy?
I do have a setup of the week. Perfect. And it was, okay, play the drop. Drop it. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
So anyways, setup of the week.
Oh, I like the little live drop there. That's awesome. So anyways, this week's setup of the week is going to none other than Stanley Cup champion Jordan Binnington, a.k.a. Jordan Winnington. His setup for their thirds, their throwback thirds, it's an all-blue E-Flex red. 4. It's got the little red trim on it. It's basically, if that jersey was a pad, that's what it would be.
That's where it is.
And he tops it off with the Ode to Cujo mask. Oh, it's amazing. Man. It's perfection. It's funny. I was tagged in a couple of the posts by some listeners, actually. Brendan tagged me in the post. He's like, this better be the setup of the week. And I was like, spoiler alert. It sure is.
It definitely is. It is a pretty sick, nasty setup.
It was an obvious choice for setup of the week. I could not.
Runner up though, and this isn't a setup of the week. This is an entire setup of the week for me, and as an honorable mention.
Go ahead.
Those Vancouver Canucks sweaters though from the other night when they played the Colorado Avalanche, the old black and yellow and red blade sweaters. Oh, they're so sick.
Love them.
Anthony, that was a solid setup of the week, though. I love the Binner shout out. He's got those retro pads.
We don't get to talk about him enough, so anytime we get the chance,
exactly,
love the guy,
exactly, and they're absolutely nasty for sure. Jordan Binnington getting a setup of the week. Anthony, it is now time though for the starts, the sits, and the call ups. Where are you going first, buddy?
Wild card. Let's start with my call up.
Wild card. Oh, well.
I'm gonna go with Jamie Benn. And his overtime goal the other night, he's been he had a rough start to the season. It was only his second goal of the year, but the Stars in general are coming back up. They've got points in their last eight games, and they've won seven of the last eight, so that's going to be my call-up. And I'm going to go with my start next. Wild card. Now, this is a guy who you'd think we'd be talking about more, but I feel like we don't talk about him enough. Again, Connor McDavid. This guy had two hat tricks in 1 week.
Oh, my God.
He got a hattie against the Ducks and the Avs. They scored six goals and won both those games.
You see the picture of him, him on Instagram? He has all three pucks in one hand and then all three pucks in the other hand.
Yeah.
And then he's just filled the locker room with all the hats.
Yeah.
This kid is something special. It's unreal.
He's the future best player in the league once Crosby retires.
Yeah, once Crosby retires, he's going to be the next great. Hopefully he's not one of those. Hopefully he can win a cup in Edmonton or can go somewhere else and win a cup or something, because he deserves a cup for being as good at. You think he's going to be the Alexander Ovechkin? I just thought about that. You think he's
McDavid?
Like traveling down the Alexander Ovechkin path? He himself is a superstar, but can never seem to have the team around him.
I think that with the way they're playing this season, the way Leon Draisaitl's been playing with him, I think he's getting some help. I think they just might see it.
I've heard that before, though.
They're going to need to solidify that defense and the goaltending situation. So I don't think they're ready for cup runs yet.
Yeah.
But hopefully it doesn't take him as long as it took Ovechkin to get a cup.
So who are you sitting this week?
I'm sitting, and this is personal.
Uh-oh.
This is absolutely personal.
Not business.
No, this is personal. I'm sitting the New York Rangers.
Oh.
These guys come out.
Oh.
They get smoked 9-2 on the road in Tampa. I guess they got too much sun before the game.
They got shit pumped
by
Tampa.
How does an NHL franchise lose to another franchise 9-2?
How does an NHL...
Has any other team scored 9 goals this year at all? It's an absurd number. It's an absurd game to get behind like that and just put no effort up. They start the game with Georgie. Sorry, I'm on a rant right now. They start
next.
The
it's
game with Georgie. They put Hank in, and then they take him out after he lets up four goals to put Georgie back in. It was absolutely embarrassing. And the icing on the cake, that game was on Thursday. They play the Panthers on Saturday, and they lose to the Panthers. How in the hell do you lose 9-2 and not come out just absolutely buzzing and destroy the next team you play?
And the cherry on top of all of that, the little cherry on top of all that, it's to Tampa, and it's to Florida. We live in the South here. We have a lot of friends that are Panther and
Lightning fans.
We're
dealing with it locally here.
And you know what's funny?
We're getting torched on Facebook.
The Rangers beat Tampa first, and it was a bad. The Tampa looked like shit the first time they played the Rangers.
Had that game marked on the counter to come out
exactly,
and do what they did.
Exactly.
Rangers should have been ready for it.
But what I told myself, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to shit talk any Lightning fans. The Rangers won.
No, and
Tampa
Lightning,
is the better team.
Absolutely. And they've been playing well as late, which we've brought up on this podcast many times,
that they are gonna
figure it out. We knew that. It's not like we were saying they're a shit team.
And then I get just plowed on Facebook and social media from all of my Lightning friends just talking all that shit about the Rangers.
Oh,
being,
and they will.
It's like unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, there's been no shortage of that this week for sure.
Definitely, definitely. So the Rangers definitely deserve that sit. Coach David Quinn is basically bringing his college hockey system up into the Rangers with the benchings and the it's just embarrassing.
It's been tough. I want to backtrack a little bit to my call up here. I just want to mention that we have two B-dubs bets going right now. One of them is that Dallas is going to miss the playoffs, and one of them is that Dallas won't make it to the Western Conference Finals. I'm on Dallas' side on both of those.
And I'm all,
I don't know if you've been watching how they're playing lately, but if I were you, I'd be a little worried.
Buddy, I have like 20 B-dubs bets to two.
Well,
like
I'm going
right
to minus
now,
those. We're going to definitely minus those two.
So I'm not that, really that not really said, worried about it.
That being said, let's hear your starts and call-ups here,
moving
buddy.
On here, my starts, my sits, and my call-ups this week. I am starting former Jacksonville Iceman goaltender Mikhail Burden for the Manitoba Moose. He is on absolute fire in Manitoba right now, dominating the AHL, not only in the setup game, but in his last like five games, he's putting up some stellar numbers, multiple games with 40-plus shots and only allowing one goal. He is absolutely on fire in Manitoba. I'm really interested to see what Winnipeg, the organization, is going to do with Connor Hellebuck. And I mean, Connor Hellebuck's obviously the number one goaltender.
Yeah.
But you have a goal like you see in the Rangers system. The Rangers have three goaltenders who are potential starters: Igor Shesterkin, Alexander Georgiev, and Henrik Lundqvist. The Jets also have a wealth of goaltenders, and you think with the Jets being a team that is, as of right now, they're kind of like on the outside looking in. They're just on that bubble. They're that fringe type of team. And you wonder if maybe you could take advantage of a superstar like I shouldn't say superstar. That might be jumping the gun a little bit. But a goaltender who is playing at this level at a consistent basis in Mikhail Burden, what do they do with him?
May I say a star is born with Mikhail Burden?
Settle down.
So Mikhail Burden, he reminds me of how well Cam Talbot played for us for a while, how well Antti Raanta played for us for a while. With the Rangers, I mean. So those guys end up getting traded. I think the Jets have a tough decision to make on whether they want to cash in on his value while it's hot or if they want to groom him to be their next starter. Being that Hellebuck's a younger starting goaltender, I think it's possible that they explore trade routes, and if they can find the right partner and get the value for him, I think that is the smart route to go, knowing that Hellebuck's not going to be beaten out for his job.
Yeah, and I mean, they have needs. Winnipeg has needs. Their defense right now is banged up. They're hurting bad on the back end. Maybe you deal a Mikhail Burden for a potential. I mean, I don't think you're going to get you're not going to get solid NHL talent for Mikhail Burden. You're just not. He's an AHL goaltender. He's tearing it up, but you're not going to get solid. You're not going to get established NHL talent for him. What you can do, though, is possibly get a great up-and-coming defenseman to put on that back end to help out, or some depth scoring, whichever one. You can find it, though, in a trade for Mikhail Burden. Oh, Neil Pionk sighting in the Winnipeg Jets highlights that you're watching. Okay. So moving on, though, I'm starting Mikhail Burden for absolutely tearing it up in the A right now for Manitoba. I am sitting, and this, I don't know if you saw my sit here, but I'm sitting, I have two. I'm sitting Claude Giroux and his slap shot shootout goal against Freddie Anderson in the Toronto Maple Leafs. He comes down right in between the hash marks and fires an absolute piss missile right past Freddie Anderson. And I'm sitting that because I get it. You're in the NHL. You can do that kind of stuff. There's no real – it's not men's league. There's no dick moves in the NHL. You do what you have to do to score. But I just don't like seeing it. I just don't like seeing someone come right in between the hash marks and fire a clapper on a goaltender. I mean, you're a goalie. What do you do in that situation? You just stand there and hope for the best?
First of all, it's very unexpected.
It is.
Because even when guys wind up, you're like, okay, it's probably a fake. And the goalie's thinking, okay, stay.
And Freddie didn't move. Freddie Anderson didn't move.
He's thinking it's a fake there, because 90% of the time you see guys like Kucherov or Kane wind up, they're going for a deke. They're just trying to freeze you or trying to make you hesitate for that 1 second. And in Giroux's case, he's just like, I'm just going to shoot.
Yeah, I'm just going to fire
away. And he did. Credit to him for shooting and scoring. I feel like if you shoot and miss there, it looks way worse, but shooting, he shot and he scored. You got to give him the credit
and,
there.
And the next night, I believe the Flyers went into a shootout again, and he had a really sick, like, slow-mo type of move, like a Zuccarello type of move.
Did he score?
And he scored. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that kind of lowers
it a little
bit.
He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve.
He's
you know, he's not a one-trick pony.
He's a very good player. But I have another sit, though, and this is where my Nathan MacKinnon talk was coming into play.
Go ahead.
I am sitting, and I'm not the only one sitting Nathan MacKinnon, Zach Kassian is sitting Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon is coming down the boards, and he takes a quick stop and turns back into where people are coming in, and Zach Kassian absolutely steamrolls him and buries Nathan MacKinnon right to the ice. It was an absolute great hit. Go ahead.
They need a guy on their team to be able to step up to stuff like that, and that's my problem with this Zadorov. He might still be hurt. I'm not sure.
I think someone did step up for Nathan MacKinnon, though, in that.
Yeah, I saw the play. I saw the play, but, you know, it's Zach Kassian.
Yeah, no one's going to.
Zach Kassian is one of the tougher guys in the NHL. I like his chances against pretty much everyone outside of Ryan Reeves in the NHL.
Yeah, he's a very tough guy.
He's a tough guy. So if Colorado Avalanche don't want that to happen, they're going to have to find someone tougher than Zadorov to take care of business there. Because Zadorov, in my experience of watching him, goes after unsuspecting players, smaller players, players that aren't going to fight back, and kind of turtles when it comes time to fight a guy like Zach Kassian. Not that I blame him for not wanting to fight Zach Kassian, but if you're going to be tough all the time, not just when it's convenient.
Exactly. Don't be the undercover tough guy or whatever.
And that is part of why Edmonton has found success this year.
They have guys.
Zach Kassian's not just hitting. I think he has like 4 or 5 goals this year.
Yeah. No.
I'll fact check that. But I know he scored at least 2 in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at in New York. I can't. Who is Claude Lemieux? Brendan Lemieux paired on a line with whoever it was. I can't remember who it was.
He's on a line with Howden.
Howden. No. It's some other young kid. Either way,
and McKeg.
No, it's someone else. Well, then again, the Rangers switch up lines.
They switch
so
up
much.
A lot. I know I've seen him.
It might be Hedl. Brendan Lemieux was paired up with Filip
Hedl. Yeah, I've seen him out there with Hedl.
And Filip Hedl has been producing, and it's because there's space on the ice because Brendan Lemieux is there to open up that space with his physical play.
And he has that element of also actually being a very skilled player.
Exactly. So that is my sits. I'm sitting Claude Giroux's clapper goal on Toronto, and I'm sitting Nathan McKinnon. Me and Zach Kassian and I are sitting Nathan McKinnon.
And one more on Zach Kassian. He has 7 goals and 8 assists this year. He's got 15 points already.
Wow.
In 22 games. He's got to be headed towards career high.
Did I say January 24th as his birthday? Oh,
yeah, 24th, 1991. Well,
3 days right before someone's birthday, huh?
Yeah, a few days before and a few years before too, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's fine with me. I'm a young kid. So I am calling up, though. This is a special call-up to me. I am calling up Jerry York, the head coach from the Boston College Eagles. On Friday night, he is being inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame as a very successful, one of the winningest coach in college hockey history. He's being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Friday night, the Toronto Maple Leafs took on the Boston Bruins in Toronto, and they had an on-ice ceremony for those who are being inducted into this year's class. And Jerry York had a game to coach, and he decided not to partake in the festivities on Friday night in Toronto. He decided to stay home and coach his Boston College Eagles against Vermont, and got 2 dubs on Friday and Saturday.
Real team guy.
And he stayed home, coached his guys. They have the ceremony on Monday. Probably when you're listening to the show, they're going to be having the ceremony for the Hall of Fame. He will be attending that. But he decided to pass up going to the on-ice ceremony to coach his own guys. That's a team player. That's a team guy right there. He is the winningest coach in college hockey history. He spent 46 years in the college hockey world coaching teams like Clarkson, Boston College, Dejan Mingo's alma mater, Bowling Green State. He's a great guy, great coach. That's who everyone wants
just
to play for.
Just Bowling Green. There's no state.
Yeah, it's Bowling Green State.
Bowling Green.
No, Bowling Green State University.
No.
Bowling. Yes, look it up. BGSU.
I think you're over to you today.
You want to beat up about this? Hold on. Whoa. You want to beat up about this?
You seem too confident.
Do you want to beat up about this? I literally did my research. The only thing I didn't do my research on was the Clark thing. What are you doing? What is it? Bowling Green what?
State University, just like I told you,
Jesus
idiot.
Christ. A totoso. So that is my start, sits, call-ups. I'm starting Mikhail Burden for being on fire. Jesus Christ. Come on, man. These sneezes pick
up
on these
mics.
Okay?
I did it away from the mic, buddy. We're good.
It's your mic. I don't care if you sneeze on your mic.
Well, I
don't
want to be
mic.
Too loud.
It was loud either way. You have the mom sneezes.
I covered it up,
loud,
buddy. I covered it up.
Unreal. So I'm starting Mikhail Burden for being on fire, sitting Claude Giroux for the clapper goal. Zach Cassian and I are sitting Nathan MacKinnon for getting dumped. And I'm calling up Jerry York for being big-time Furta for the BC Eagles to get two dubs against Vermont this past weekend. That is the starts. That is the sits. That's the call-ups. And that's another great episode of the Power Play Podcast, episode 62 of the show. We thank you guys so much for all the support. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. We are all over the podcast world on all streaming platforms. Check us out. Anthony's shaking his head because his fantasy football team is off to a slow start.
It sure is.
So we're going to go enjoy some fantasy football. On that note, folks, Anthony, you have any last words?
Nope, I think we covered everything today.
Beautiful,
buddy.
Beautiful. For Anthony, the backup, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you guys, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.